something like that.
No. Protection, you're saying?
Being protected by the God in...
So you're asking a question, you're making a statement.
Is it correct or not?
The sequence, my understanding is, we're not so much looking at sequence, we're looking at components. Like in this song, and in some of the prayers, like Jivanacharya's prayers, you are, since I'm so frail and imperfect, and since you are supreme and all-merciful, therefore I pray to you, please be my maintainer and protector. It's not important. The sequence is not as important as understanding the differences of division of our functions. One function is to see that we're maintained. Another function is to see that we're protected. Which comes first is not a critical issue, if that's what your question is about. If you want to feel protected first, feel protected first. Don't, it's fine. But it's not that if someone isn't following the way that you're thinking, there's something wrong with them. Or they've misunderstood or something like that. It's not a critical issue. For you, it's a critical issue. Fine. Feel protected first. It's not a critical issue. Well, look at this. From yesterday evening class, we discussed about the principles of becoming free from the conception of I and mine. So what are these principles of becoming free from the conception of I and mine? What are the principles of becoming free from the conception of I and mine? I'm not sure, because I could just repeat what we said yesterday, but apparently that's not satisfying. So what do you mean by this question, whoever wrote this question? What do you mean? Can you say it in some other way so I can understand what it is you'd like to hear? Ask it in different words. Elaborate a little more. You just want me to elaborate a little. Is that it? Yeah?
Steps. What are the steps?
Steps. Well, I can think of two very simple ways to approach responding to your question. One is to think how Krishna addresses the I and mine consciousness of Arjuna, and another is how Shukadeva Goswami expresses becoming free from I and mine conception in the Bhagavatam. So what does Krishna do in his discussion with Arjuna? First, he gives a very, very clear presentation of Samkhya Yoga. This is matter and that spirit. That's Samkhya Yoga. Analyzing the distinction between the two. Separating over here is matter and its components, and over here is spirit. and then reminding Arjuna, you're not over there with matter, you're here. Your identity is spirit. But that's theoretical or conceptual. But that's an important step. Having the right conceptions is an important step of getting out of eye and mind consciousness. So then the next thing that Krishna explains is karma yoga. To have that conception right here, right in front of your consciousness, and go to work. Or do your household duties, or go to school, or go to the workplace, or engage in your obligations of life. But keeping that conception right here. And so one of the steps that's required is acting without attachment to the fruits of the work. Karma pala tyag. But rather detached from the fruits of the work, but working as you're obligated. Karma nyevadi karaste ma paleshu kadachana. That verse from Bhagavad Gita. What I'm entitled to is to perform my duty and not entitled to the fruits of the work. And that's an important step in freeing myself from mine conception of life. And instead being situated in a proper spiritual conception of life. What I previously was considering to be mine, now I'm considering to belong to the Supreme. I've just learned the art of yajna, or sacrifice, of rendering that which I thought before to be mine unto the Supreme. So I can do it through ceremony, and swaha, and different items go into the fire and sanctify them. Or in the yajna of karma yoga, the sacrifice of performing work in the spirit of detachment. I can practice. I don't have the ghee and the mantras, but I have the practical activity, karma yoga. Rendering those things that I was thinking to be mine, to be Krishna's, freeing myself from the false conception of I and mine. And then ultimately, how do I repose that spiritual conception of I am spirit soul? So what is the function of the spirit soul? I serve the Supreme. So if I become finely situated in the constitutional conception of I am Krishna's eternal servant, then that's the consummation of these steps of becoming free from I and mine. And parallel or very similar is what what Shukadeva Goswami describes to Maharaj Parikshit. He says that by regular hearing of the messages of transcendence, for us that means hearing Bhagavad Gita, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by regularly hearing, it's so cleansing that I can become situated in my constitutional understandings. Again, it's having the right conceptions of what is this world, what is the soul, what is the Supreme, what is time, what is activity. I get a basic conceptual understanding and I act according to those conceptions. Then what Shukadeva Goswami says is the false shelters of the material conceptions of I and mine, we can discard them far away. But you actually have to have the protection or the shelter of the spiritual energy which comes into one's life by sound vibration, by descending, mercifully descending sound vibration. That's the path of Bhagavad Marg. And in general, the path of the Vedas is to become relieved of ignorance by descending transcendental knowledge, which we hear submissively and try to internalize in our consciousness. And that equips us to throw away the misconceptions. Krishna maintains and protects sincere devotees. How can we get the faith that Krishna will protect me, even if I'm not so sincere? I'm far below the standards. Well, Prabhupada's way of expressing that is that the facts of life are that Krishna maintains the elephant who requires his 1 kilo of food a day, and maintains the ant who has his whatever he has, a few grains of something. And they don't go to the office. They don't have a bank account where they receive some pay and put it in and go and buy their commodities at the local market. Krishna is their maintainer also. So in your case in particular, having the faith that Krishna is the maintainer, fact of the matter is Krishna is the maintainer of everyone. Just like I gave the example sometime while I was here, a reporter asking Prabhupada, Swamiji, where does your society get all its money? And Prabhupada's answer was, from Krishna. Or that example that of the person riding in the train from Calcutta to Ranchi. So you also need money? But he is being maintained by Krishna as I am being maintained by Krishna. Only he's thinking, he's maintaining himself and me because I'm a parasite. Or if not him, some other one else. Because he gets rid of parasites by just being very rude. So the understanding of a devotee is that we are, even presently, devotee, non-devotee, we're being maintained. If that's the case, then why be a devotee? Because we become freed from illusion, which is the cause of so much suffering. But those that are suffering and those that are in Krishna consciousness, all and everyone else in between, which is maybe we're in the category of in between, someone who's fully Krishna conscious and someone that's just in abject ignorance, we're also maintained. We're all being maintained by Krishna. That's a fact. You've probably heard the story. I've heard it, Prabhupada narrated many times. I don't know where he heard the story, but during the communist era in Russia, in the northern parts of the country, there's very, very long, cold, and severe winters. So for the communists, the government leaders, to try to convince the people they shouldn't waste their time going to church, they would tell them, so you go to church and you pray to God for bread and see what happens. And then when they came out of the church, so did you get your bread? And then they said, so the Communist Party, we have here a whole truckload of bread, help yourself. Now you tell me who is better, God or the Communist Party? You prayed to God for bread and we're just giving it to you. Then Prabhupada said, so these people should ask the question, my dear communist friend, where did you get this bread from? You got it from God, did you not? Did you manufacture it in your factory? But it comes from rain and from the supply that comes from nature. It's by God's arrangement. Otherwise they would have no bread either. Okay? So we should not only have faith that God is our maintainer, but it's a fact. Go ahead, you first. Go ahead. How can one? This is what we've been speaking about. I'm losing my voice speaking about it. His question is, how can we move about in the course of the day being Krishna conscious? Just borrow the tape from him, listen to the class again, you'll have the answer to your question. But our process of being conscious of Krishna throughout the day, it starts with our hearing and chanting in the morning. We do that very nicely. Thought of Krishna will be there, and we can carry that thought of Krishna with us throughout the day. And the test of our practical application of Krishna consciousness is that we see how the day-to-day or moment-to-moment activity throughout the day is but an expression of service to Krishna in some way. In material consciousness, we're not seeing like that at all. So it takes a cultivation, starting with our direct devotional activities of hearing and chanting Krishna's name and Krishna's message and worshipping his form, and then practically carrying that consciousness into the field of everyday activity, which is also Krishna's energy, and seeing how to connect Krishna's energy with Krishna's service. You have to practice both.
Similar.
Because of the past conditioning.
Sometimes I'm feeling I'm pretending. As a devotee, actually my tendency is very opposite tendencies and all. Better to reveal my heart for the superiors and the little some opposite feelings is coming. Even though I am not doing that, but I am facing that.
Okay, that's a thoughtful comment. Appreciate that. He's saying, my situation is the opposite of Jamunacharya's. In the case of Jamunacharya, Jamunacharya is saying that I can't operate without you. I can't function without you. I'm fully dependent upon you. And in my case, I feel that I'm not in that consciousness at all, but rather I'm trying to perform Krishna consciousness, but it's a bit of a, you use the word, I'm pretending. My response is, that's an honest and a very humble expression. Better that you think of it this way, that you're practicing or you're cultivating the mood of depending upon Krishna. What you're fighting against is the false shelter of false ego. False ego says, don't surrender. Are you crazy? You know what being a servant means? You know what happens to servants? They get exploited and cheated and treated badly. And it's low. Don't do that. If you like, you can talk like that, but don't become a servant. Come on, you've made so much progress, keep going. You can do it. False ego. So our position, or what you're describing your position to be, which is not so dissimilar from anyone else, is that we're cultivating the consciousness of feeling dependent upon Krishna in everyday things, not just memorizing slokas and, you know, doing our devotional practices nicely. We're certainly dependent upon Krishna for that. But for all things, practical dynamics in the home and practical activity in the workplace and practical exchanges with people and everything that happens in life, we're dependent upon Krishna. That's a fact. False ego will say no, no, and I know better. My intelligence is different than false ego. False ego want to rule my intelligence, and I'm sorry, my dear false ego, step aside. It's not true. You've given me bad advice for a long time. You just stand over in the corner for a while. Be quiet. You cultivate. That's right. That's right. Exactly. That's right. And do so depending upon Krishna. Because on your effort, you get knocked over. You know what that feels like, right? Trying and getting... It happens again and again. You have to depend on Krishna. And your false ego will try to stand in between you and depending upon Krishna. And just, you know, politely but firmly, false ego, get your hands out of the situation. Because I'm going to depend on Krishna. Like another entity with independent will or something. But it doesn't have life. It's just a material energy. It has life according to how much we invest in it. Giving it so-called life or apparent life. Therefore, we're taking the instructions of Krishna and Krishna's very dear devotees. That adds life to our life. It adds spiritual life to our life. It gives us the spiritual strength to dismiss this illusory manifestation of false ego. Just like a disease, it's part of a medical procedure. There's some infection in the body. You isolate it and remove it. So work like that. And take the strength from Krishna. And taking the strength from Krishna means also from Krishna's devotees. Because that's strength from Krishna. Take strength from Krishna. And work Krishna's strength is there, it's like super antiseptic. No germs can stay around. No diseased condition can remain. But try on your own. But that's a nice realization. That's devotion. Hari Bol, it's great. Our process is not a solo process. It's a devotional process. We want to love Krishna. And Krishna wants our love. He'll help us. We don't have to go it alone. The empiric method, you have to go alone. The yoga method, you have to go alone. The devotional method, you're with Krishna. You're never alone. It's nice. It's real nice. Yeah. How can we do what?
Stop the continuation of
material life altogether. Well, Iha Yasya Harer Dashe Karmana Manasa Gira Nikhilapyasi Vasta Sujivan Mukta Suchate. That's how you can do it. We discussed this verse yesterday. To give up material life altogether sounds like impersonalism. This is another one? But it's not. What Rupa Goswami says and what Lord Brahma says is, from whatever position you're in, take each of the things that you do, and each of the things that you say, and each of the things that you think, and do them, think them, and speak them for Krishna. And that way you can give up the material condition of life for good. And you don't even have to wait. Instantly, you're in a liberated position. That was one of the verses that's in this section. One who is in household life and devotes themselves to Krishna, in one of these songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, he has a vision. Now whether it's in the song or it actually happened, but the whole spiritual world appeared in his home. His home became the spiritual world. He gave up his material existence by surrendering to Krishna. But surrendering to Krishna didn't mean he went to the forest, said, "Goodbye, everybody. I'm going to the spiritual world. See you later. Hope you make it. I'll send you a postcard." Right in his home. By dedication, karmana, manasa, gira. Karmana is activity. Manasa, mind. Gira, like Bhagavad Gita. Harer dasye. Iha yasya harer dasye. Karmana, manasa, gira. Even in the present circumstance of life, if those things are dedicated unto the Supreme, your material existence is permanently terminated. Okay? So to maintain that consciousness, Lord Brahma says, one should shruti gatam tanabhama nobhi, one should regularly hear spiritual messages. To maintain that consciousness, to support and sustain that consciousness. Yeah.
Some people say that body is in us, so we are not body in us.
Yes, God is in us.
So we did not follow anything.
So we don't have to follow any religious practices. How to convince such people?
God is within us, but the consciousness of God may be covered, or consciousness of God may be evident. So therefore we have scripture to teach us the conduct of those who are devoid of an understanding of the presence of God within. Their statements are most illogical. So, for example, I may be in a material conception of life and think that I am this body. So if I think that I'm this body, therefore I shouldn't take a bath. One thing doesn't have anything to do with the other thing. In fact, if I'm this body, I should take a bath. So the scriptures teach us one who has transcendental knowledge of God, they live in goodness, and one of the symptoms of goodness is cleanliness. So the person makes the argument, we shouldn't follow any teaching because God is within us, so I won't take a bath. Doesn't make any sense. The ladies are coming in a little stronger this time with their questions. When there is success, I think that I have done it. But whenever something goes wrong, I think it's Krishna's will. How should I correct this mentality? Well, you can try just like something is leaning too far one way, so you kind of tilt it the other way just to get it so it's like somewhere in the middle. Just turn them the other way around. If something goes wrong, this is Krishna's will. Excuse me, if something goes right, it's Krishna's will that it went right. And something that goes wrong is my fault. Actually, that's not the permanent solution to either, but it can help correct the wrong directional tilt. But since you understand that thinking is wrong, just get out your big eraser and put in the right understanding and practice that. The first third of Bhagavad Gita is filled with various instructions in non-fruitive work. Because that's what this is coming from. If it's going well, I get the credit. If it doesn't go well, I'll think of Krishna because I'm being pinched. And ouch, it hurts. It hurts my false ego. So try to act not through false ego. And as your question was, what are the steps involved in that, being freed from I and mine? Cultivate performing your work with the understanding that the fruit will be dedicated to Krishna. Doesn't matter whether the outcome is good or bad. As far as dedicating it to Krishna, I'll do, it belongs to Krishna. Since it belongs to Krishna, therefore I should be very attentive, do it nicely, because it's for Krishna. And cultivate that consciousness. Even if I do some service, I do not have a consciousness that I'm doing it for Krishna. That's most of us. Although we say these things over and over again, when it comes to the practical activity, thought of Krishna can be very far away. How can I develop the consciousness that I'm serving Krishna, and Krishna is my maintainer? Well, it's cultivation. Again, same as these other questions. You hear, how do you carry consciousness of Krishna throughout the day? That was your same question. It starts with proper hearing and chanting, morning and evening, and then there's the middle of the day. Prabhupada called that our Krishna conscious sandwich. The bread on this side and the bread on that side and whatever goes in the middle. So morning and evening, kirtan and classes and chanting, and then there's the what's in the middle, sandwich. And try to carry that consciousness of thought of Krishna in a practical way, practical application way. Throughout the course of the day. Okay, I'm going to end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.